This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Right now on the line, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Pod Reference 2.0 podcast series, available on odyssey.com/Dell. Brian, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Well, we did not do well on the basketball court last night, but we're hanging in there nonetheless.
I mean, are you trying to avoid? I think you got to feel like you're in a really good position. What do you got to win? Probably one game.
Yeah.
You think LeBron's getting on a plane going to Indiana and New Orleans in the last two games of the season? So I feel like you guys have your own destiny, and I agree. Like, I was surprised with Memphis being on the back-to-back why Dallas didn't win that game, but it's one of those things. And I do feel like you're in a good position to what do you got to win? Maybe one, probably two games.
Yeah, magic number's two. So yeah. Any combination gets you to the sixth seed.
Yeah, and the idea is just to avoid seven. That's it. And I think I would be really comfortable right now if I'm the Mavs, thinking I'm just going to be able to avoid this play-in scenario.
Most people here, Brian, in Dallas are kind of tired of Porzingis sitting out all these games, dealing with four or five different injuries this year. He's supposed to come back tonight with two games left and not really playing in April and May much. What can we expect from Porzingis in the playoffs?
Who, I don't know. If he's obviously, there's two things going on in the NBA. There's what people are capable of, which obviously Porzingis is capable of a lot. And then is he consistent? For him, it's the best of ability is availability. So I do think that if he plays and he's out there, he can create somewhat of a matchup problem. But I guess you have to admit that Dallas has been a little bit disappointed since getting him in that trade and what you guys were expecting to get, and you gave him the big contract. You know, he still has to live up to that. And part of this, it's funny, Phil Jackson kind of said it a long time ago, like they have to factor in that Porzingis might be a guy that's just injury prone. And I think he thinks that too because of the injuries that he's sustained. And he probably doesn't want something small to turn into something big.
All right, so here's – and this is my own theory, Scal, and that is that I don't think that KP believes that he is a mismatch at all times on the court. And I saw you destroy a high schooler in basketball in a video recently, and it was awesome. And you knew what you could do. You knew you could match up on that guy and do certain things because you're experienced. And I don't know, is KP just not experienced enough to know when he has a great mismatch on somebody and how much of a weapon he can be for this team?
So how long have you've been Dallas fans, Dallas Mavericks fans for a long time?
Whole life, when we were literally the worst franchise.
Blackman, Aguirre, Harper, okay. Sam Perkins, right. James Donaldson, right. So Roy Tarpley, you know?
So you guys remember, and I lived this, like I remember that you used to body Dirk, used to get underneath his airspace, used to make it really difficult for him, and he struggled with that at the beginning. And then I don't know what happened. It was a year, an off season. Maybe he got stronger. Maybe he figured out exactly what to do. You could not get into his airspace any longer. He was patient. He got he had those big wide shoulders. He would dip those shoulders by you. He'd step around you. He'd use his size. He would pin his body on you. He'd use his length. And it happened to me. It happened in like 1 year. He went from, oh man, you know, you can kind of, I don't want, I'm like one of Dirk's favorite. He's one of my favorite players. I'm a huge fan of him, but before you can kind of quote unquote punk him. And then whatever he did in the off season, whatever happened after that, like you could not do that. And no one could do that. Not LeBron, not Udonis Haslam. I mean, there was nobody that could stop Dirk after that. So I guess optimist and maybe the mental mindset of Dirk versus Porzingis is completely different. But I would say, like, if Porzingis can learn from that, maybe, I know Dirk, doesn't he live around Dallas? Can't like, he mentored Porzingis a little bit, like come in, can't the Mavs just give him a couple hundred thousand to come in and tell, like, what was the difference between the year when you were getting punked against Golden State and then the following couple years when you were winning championships against Miami? And whatever he did, that's what Porzingis needs to do.
I mean, I would be all for that. I am curious, do you get the sense, I guess, around the league and whatnot that folks or other teams or whoever just think that Porzingis is just soft?
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people think that. First of all, most guys think that about most European players until they prove you wrong. And, I mean, it took Luka like 2 months for him to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, most guys probably think that. He's injury prone. The fact that you could put a 6'4 strong guy on him and that guy can body him up and Porzingis can't go to where he wants to go. But it wasn't like I don't remember Dirk just being that much stronger when he made those adjustments. I just think he had something for everything you did. Like his counters were amazing. And so, I'm sure he got stronger along the way and he got more experience. And Dirk has that edge big time. But I just, I think the word out is probably that he's soft, but he is still super skilled. He's still 7'3 or 7'2, whatever he is. And he still should be. I mean, and I heard in the past he's been a worker. Now, at this point, it all comes down to mindset. What is his mindset? Does he have that drive and that bug to be great? If he has that, then and he's around the right people, I'm sure that he'll be fine.
I'm kind of curious. My co-host Mike Bacsik has been just all about Julius Randle. He was furious the Mavericks didn't sign him years ago, and I'm trying to figure out what this dude has done differently to really become the dominator that he is right now.
Well, first of all, one thing, he's from Dallas, right?
Yep. Yep.
From
local
Dallas?
Kid. Yep.
Yeah. Wanted to come here too, but we didn't want him.
So my experience with like guys in Dallas are tough. They grow up differently. The style of play. Kenyon Martin was from Dallas and yep. He was on my team when I was with the Nets. Like I met a lot of dudes from Dallas and they're just different levels, right? And so it was just for Julius Randle, I think it came down to this. And you just watch his comments this year. He's all about accountability in an excuse-driven world of pointing the finger somewhere else. Julius Randle has taken the onus all year long. And he didn't talk about when people ask Julius Randle, why are you so good this year? He doesn't say things like, well, now I'm getting my chance. People are starting to see what I can do. No, he says, I put in the work. I studied. I was doing 3-a-days in the middle of the Dallas summer running on that track, and I was like, getting ready to be an all-star. And so he's taken that responsibility. And I think that's an empowering thing. And believe me, like I was probably lukewarm on Julius Randle. Loved him coming out of college, but he just wasn't a great passer and decision maker, and he didn't play hard all the time as a young player. And maybe him getting in shape, he talked about running barefoot 5-minute and 15-second miles and stuff like that to get himself to an elite level. Well, all that stuff comes into play. And the harder you work and the more accountability you take, I think the better player you become. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody could project what we're seeing from Julius Randle this year, but I'm sure he did and his trainer did and probably the people that saw him putting in that work did. And whatever he did differently as far as taking the accountability, I think that made a big change.
I know when looking at the standings, like we can't dictate what will happen with the other teams, so you don't know the matchups. But with how close 3 and 4 are with each other and then how close the Mavericks are with 5 and 6 and then even 7, do you think the Mavericks should prefer the Nuggets in the opening round or the Clippers in the opening round?
So help me out. Mavericks beat Clippers by 50 earlier in the year, right?
They did.
I think they beat them by 50, 40, and 30 this year.
That they just dominated the Clippers. It wasn't a one-time thing. Like, they just had their number. And was there any, like back-to-backs? Like, you're in it more than I am. I'm looking at 30 teams, right? So was there any, like, crazy back-to-backs Clippers had, Mavs on 2-day rest or anything like that happened?
The 50-point game was, like, the third game of the season. So I don't think that fatigue should have been a factor just then.
So I would feel the Clippers because of what they have, right? I just think they have a really good team. They shoot it well, and Rajon Rondo makes a big difference. But that's 30,000 feet up, not looking at it from a Mavs point of view. But I think from an NBA standpoint, like looking at the Denver Nuggets and saying like, okay, they're the one trick pony. Like, you got to guard their cutters, which these guys are more than capable of doing. You probably have more offensive weapons than they have Jokic. But I think Luka, and I think Jokic should be the MVP this year, but Luka can outplay Nikola Jokic in a series. So I would be geared towards that. But if you just, sometimes you just have a team's number, it's just the way it goes. And, maybe they like that matchup against the Clippers, but I would actually – I think they could be any team except for Phoenix, Utah, and the Lakers, and maybe the Warriors or maybe not. But those other teams, I would like Dallas in that, against Portland, Denver, or the Clippers.
Who do you like in the Eastern Conference, and is Milwaukee really happy that the Knicks lost so they might not have to play the Miami Heat in the first round?
Yeah, so I don't think that that's the right mindset, especially when you've dealt with the Milwaukee Bucks and their playoff falters. You can't start that can't creep around your locker room at all. And because we know – like they didn't lose because they had this injury or whatever happened. They had mental breakdowns against Toronto 2 years ago and against Milwaukee last year. So I think you can't. I don't think that they could even creep into the fear of playing Miami. I think they have to almost embrace the fact that they want them. And I think that that type of mentality, even though it's probably backwards thinking as far as like how you want to navigate this, but you cannot. At any point with the team they have this year, show any fear at all of playing the Miami Heat, even though the Miami Heat tend to have your number. But if you start like dancing around, that doesn't end well for a team like the Bucks, who have to exercise some playoff demons and how bad they have played in the past.
What's the vibe you've gotten across the league about the play-in tournament? Because we've heard some players kind of complain about it, but it seems like fans and we dig the play-in tournament. Do you think it's here to stay potentially?
Man, this thing is unbelievable, and the way that it's created, some teams want to stay out of it, some teams want to get into it, and some teams want to get out of it, or it's just like it's created a little bit of buzz at the end of the year where a lot of teams are probably like, I don't know, we don't have a chance to make the playoffs, let's tank, or a lot of teams that are 6, 7, 8. What is it? What does it really matter if I'm 6, 7, or 8? But I think this has created a little, I don't want to have to play in this play-in tournament. And that's a good thing. I think we all have been motivated by things that we don't want to do. I don't want to, when I was a kid, I mowed yards every day. I don't want to mow yards when I get older. So I better get my stuff together. So I think this is one of those things where players are like, man, we can't mess around and end up being in a play-in game. You never know what's going to happen. And I know the Lakers and the Warriors, you can't tell me that that's not going to have unreal ratings if it's a winner-take-all type of scenario and with those two teams, if that's how it ends up.
Hey, Scal, real quick before we let you go, man, how do you explain the Mavericks getting destroyed by the Sacramento Kings all season? We can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Speed, I think. Did De'Aaron Fox play in most of those games? It's probably
he actually didn't, but that has been a deal that the Mavericks really struggle with, teams that play at a high tempo.
Yeah, I think from watching the Mavs, I think they do struggle with speed. That's probably why they do well against the Clippers. They like to methodical bring it down. But, yeah, speed has been one of those things. Luka loves to play comfortable. He doesn't like to get uncomfortable.
Man, we always appreciate having you on for not just the Mavs, but all across the NBA. Thank you very much, good sir.
You got it. See ya.
Right there. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference 2.0 podcast series.
That's a
weird word.
How many more things do they have there?
Available on odyssey.com/Dell. Podference is a real weird word.
Oh, I don't need to write that down. I memorized that one.